I'd like to ask you to turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 5. Luke, chapter 5. The last few weeks that I've had the opportunity to speak, I've been talking in regard to fasting and prayer. It began with a simple statement where Jesus said, "This kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting." To know that we need a depth of relationship with God and a commitment to God and a depth of fellowship, as was just sung about, that creates the difference in our lives. It is by the grace of God that we are who we are today. It is by the grace of God that we do what we do. All the work in ministry comes by the grace of God. So if you want to develop, if you want to grow in the Lord, if you want to be gifted with the gifts of the Spirit or see the fruit manifest itself more prominently in your life, it all goes and comes from the same source. It is Jesus Christ. And the grace of God, it is His empowering presence, His favor in our lives to take a hand for us and in our lives to show us what it is when God shows up in your life and in my life. That's what makes the difference. Friends, we very much have a nature that's very similar. We have a nature that is built for sin. It is fallen. It is corrupt. It is mortal. But as we come to know God and He blesses us with His Spirit, He begins a new creative process in us to take us from where we are today to the very place God wants us to be, all by His work and His blessing. Really, what we are is lumps of clay needing to submit, to obey, to follow our Lord where He leads. And so we've been talking about how fasting brings out so many different fruits. And notice here it says in Luke chapter 5 and verse 33, it says, "They said to Him, 'Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise those of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink?'" In other words, yours are having a good time. We're humbling ourselves. We're fasting. We're praying. And He said to them, as Jesus said, "Can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days." The difference was being with Jesus. The bridegroom was present. The fullness of God was with them bodily. He was there with them. They had Him. But He ascended into heaven, and He promised to send the Holy Spirit, that we would not be left orphans, but that He would come to us and have a deep fellowship with us. The relationship. Having God in our lives makes all the difference. I want you to notice here what we discussed in terms of why we fast over the last few weeks. I don't know if anybody made a list. This is not the complete list of the things we talked about why. But I want you to look at the list in terms of what fasting is, why we go about fasting, why we go about praying, to humble ourselves, generally to seek God, to put an end to this flesh and the ways of the flesh within us, our nature, and to have developed within us by the power of God a new and living nature that is about serving. You see, as you start to look at the things that we've discussed in the scriptures we've gone in, it began with knowing who God is, seeking His face, seeing the work of God to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens and the oppressed in ourselves and in others. But then not just to get rid of the wickedness, but it is a ministry of service, of extending our lives to others that God is working out. You see, He's taking us from being creatures that are very interested in ourselves, in what makes me comfortable and what makes me happy and what serves this flesh. And He's showing us that if we all just serve ourselves, we're going to have a world that you see today. What does He say in James 4:1? Where do wars come and conflicts? Do not they come from your desires for pleasure that dwell in your members? Because you're thinking of yourself without consideration for God first and mankind second.
The summation of the law and really all that is in Scripture in regard to showing us how to live is that this relationship that we have with God is to show us that in Him we live and move and have our being. In Him is perfected love, and what He wants to spring forth from our lives is that very perfected love. He wants us to spring forth perfected love. And that love comes in seeing Jesus Christ, our Savior. So why do we fast now? Because we want to spend time with the Bridegroom. We want to spend time with Almighty God. We want to have the fellowship with God that He is making available to each of us. And so to fast is not a burden. To fast is a burden to the flesh, but it makes one alive in the Spirit to become more and more acquainted with Almighty God. Friends, one of the biggest mistakes that we can make in coming to Christ is to think that what Christianity really is a set of rules and disciplines that we walk through in life. If we think that we're to pray to check off a box or to fast to say that we did it, that is really what we're talking about here today, then we're missing the point. It's not about going without food. It's not about spending time alone on our knees or looking up into the heavens and talking. It is about having a relationship with the real God who lives in the heavenly places, who made everything. He came to say, I want to have fellowship with you. Jesus Christ wants to have fellowship with you. He wants to live with you. God the Father and Jesus Christ want to abide in your life. And God's work in calling you and demonstrating the gospel is to say, I know where you are. And I know that your sins make it difficult because you feel guilt, you feel shame, you feel like you're not worthy, you feel like you're not good enough to come. And you try to figure out all these ways maybe to justify yourself, to make you feel like you're a better person. And you try to do right things. And you know in your heart of hearts that what's really going on is you're not measuring up. And I know this because this is where God broke into my life as a young man and said, what are you doing? I can remember a day when I lived in Illinois, when I was so desperate to know who God was, that everything in my being was crying out, I'm lost. Because I had been practicing a walk of Christianity. I could look in the Bible and had conviction. I had a relationship of some kind, but as so many of our relationships are humanly, it only went so far. But the thing about God is, He doesn't want to just have a casual relationship. You know, most of our relationships in life are casual relationships. They're not really very intimate at all. If you're really honest, a lot of relationships are not very intimate. We put up walls, we have barriers, we hide, we pretend to be something else. And in my life, I had put up walls and barriers. In my life, I had hidden myself. And yet, nothing satisfied. And on that day that I came to in feeling desperation for so long, but I had read the word of Daniel and I began to confess through the commandments. And I said, you should have no other gods before you. And my honest answer was, I don't. Should not make any graven images and bow down to them. I don't do that. Should not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. No, very careful about not doing that. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I always take off work. I always rest. Honor your father and mother. I'm not mistreating my parents. You should not murder. I've never killed anybody. Don't commit adultery. No, I haven't done that.
Just me and my wife. Do not steal. No, I abhor stealing. Don't bear false witness against your neighbor. No, don't covet. And I got to thou shalt not covet, and I thought, something's very wrong with me. The whole view of myself is based on my flesh performing things, and I'm not seeing my heart. And in all the little ways I had justified it, I truly believe I was breaking every part of God's law. Because what was in me in my depth was a sense of selfishness and flesh of what I was doing in the outside. And why my heart kept crying out, though in obedience, was I had no reality or relationship with my Creator. Fasting, my friends, taking time away from your flesh and your pleasures, and taking time away from our basic need, and taking time away from the work and the activity of this world to give ourselves over to God, to His care, to seeking His face, to humbling ourselves, to being loosed. Became the thing that is needed. It's constant. And the thing is, the more you start to taste and see that the Lord is good, as you come and you make confession of your heart and your mind and your soul before the Lord God, He wants to come right in to where you are so frustrated, to where you're saying, I want more. Because what God has been looking for all along is to give us more of Him. But it doesn't come without there being less of us. It has to come with a crucifixion of the flesh. And that is where fasting and prayer are so essential and important. Because ultimately, there is room for one fellowship, one God, and one life. And when our lives are out of connection with God, we're going to feel the emptiness. You can puff yourself up for a while. You can satisfy yourself with things of this world. You can say that for my problems and ills, I've got this drug, I've got this alcohol, I've got this habit or practice. You can say it's physical exercise. I'm not saying there aren't good things and ill things that we can get involved in, but if what we're doing to medicate our lives isn't running to Jesus Christ, if we're running to turn the television on, if we're running to anything in this world that is other than Jesus Christ, we are trying to find something good enough that is a substitute for He who is everything in our lives. Jesus Christ is everything. We need the bridegroom constantly. Our lives are empty without Him. And we know that. We know that when we go to the secret places, that what God has been wanting to do with us since the day He knew us and He called us was to bring us close. Friends, you have an awesome invitation from God to be close. If you can hear my voice and understand the words, if you hear what I'm saying to you today, you're being called to come to God to be close to Him. And I'm asking you to soften your heart and let Him in. Let God in. Notice the way Jesus prayed here in John chapter 17. I always am amazed by this prayer, because if I knew what Jesus knew about His life and I'm in His shoes, all I'm going to be thinking about is what's about to happen that night. I'm going to be thinking about me. I know my flesh. And here is Jesus, just about the time when He's going to be betrayed, He's going to be beaten. He knows exactly what's going to happen. He's praying for His disciples. And then notice, friends, He thinks about you. Jesus, on the night when He was going to give His life, starts thinking about you. So what does He say? In John chapter 17, notice here beginning in verse 20,
He says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us, friends. That's us here today. All these years later, we are the ones who are believing in their word, that they may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. What was it Jesus was doing it for? Why was he laying down his life? That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you. Because God wants to have that intimate, deep, unified fellowship with the barriers gone, without the walls between us and him. And you realize that as a church, the only way we will ever truly have fellowship one with another is when the reason and purpose and center of our fellowship is Jesus Christ. It's this unity in him that brings us here today. It's the unity of belief that causes us to come and open our hearts. And yes, we have a heart that needs to be sometimes filleted. It needs to be opened up. There are wounds that need to be exposed and healed. Because so often we can take these things and we try to bury them, and some of us bury them deeper and deeper and deeper as we get older, rather than just letting it all come up and having the purge. And friends, where God led me in seeing myself and realizing I was in trouble, because any man who says he has not sinned is a liar and the truth is not in him. And seeing that in myself, knowing that in myself, allowed me to say, show me. The most painful of prayers, show me. And the coming to know God did not come with me ascending to the heights of relationship. It actually took me descending to the depths in my own being to come to see it as it truly was seen, as it was understood by God all the time. But friends, he never left me, and nor will he ever leave you. You are being called, you're being drawn to come and open it up, to not hide, to get rid of the fig leaves that we've been putting on ever since Adam and Eve put them on in the garden. We've been trying to justify ourselves ever since. And fasting takes you right down to that moment where you start to get hungry and you want to eat something. And it's such a beautiful thing to say, oh God, I'm really hungry right now. I'm so hungry for you. Fill my need. Because that's where fasting should take us every time. We get it. You're my need. You are my need. You are the one who is my portion. You are the one who satisfies me. So Jesus said, he prayed that we would be one. As you, Father, in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. Isn't that awesome? The beauty of a unity of human beings, not at conflict and war, because each is looking out for his own self without regard, but rather a community and a kingdom ruled by Jesus Christ, where each one is following the example of the King to lay himself down in service to another person. Friends, that's the only way to stop war. Do you know that? That is the only way to stop strife, whether in the world conflict or in your own home or in your own heart. You have to stop the selfishness. It has to be crucified, and Jesus Christ has to reign within, that we are operating out of love and not out of selfishness. Friends, love is not the feeling that you get when you see a pretty girl or a handsome guy. Love is the expression of care that you have for others when you're thinking about what is in their best interest
And it really has nothing to do with what you feel. If your definition of love is the way somebody makes you feel, I challenge you, that's not love. It's sweet when your care is responded in kind. No doubt about that. But don't mistake that what love is the thinking of someone else and how you're treating them and seeing that their needs are being met spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically, that your mind is on them, and sometimes that will come sweetly, and sometimes that will come with a lot of pain. But love is not deterred. Love is love. God's love is perfectly good. He is so interested in taking us out of our sin into holiness. And friends, when you think about what fasting is, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke, we're doing it because we're seeing that as we love others, we want to see them experience what that is to be loosed, to be freed, to know Christ, to be served, to be satisfied, to know what it is to have the portion that is Jesus Christ, to have that relationship with Him that surpasses all other relationships, that guides every relationship. Friend, there is hope for this world. Do you know that? There is hope for this world in the belief in Jesus Christ. There is hope for the world because as we submit to Him and submit to His perfect way of love, there can be reconciliation. There can be intimacy where you would say, I don't want to hurt anybody. I'll do everything I can to make sure that I cause no harm to anyone else. Love is the fulfilling of the law because love does no harm to another. So says the Scripture. Love does no harm to another. Friends, that's where Christ wants us to be. So he says in verse 22, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them. Do you believe that? I read it again. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. What was the glory that the Father gave Jesus? What glory did he pour upon him? What was the glory that even in the flesh Jesus was given? Was it not the glory of the Spirit? Was it not being led and guided by the Spirit and empowered by the Spirit for everything Jesus needed to do in His ministry? See, even in His flesh, even when He emptied Himself to come in the form of a man, He was blessed with a glory that He says He gives. That they may be one just as we are one, in heart, in mind, in spirit, being connected with the Almighty. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Friends, do you see what God has called you to? He wants you perfect in one with Him. He wants us to be perfect in one with each other. He wants us to be perfect in heart, in mind, in the purposes that are God's. And what we're doing in that purpose is what? Building up one another, praying for one another, fasting for one another, encouraging one another. As people are led in ministries, we pray and say, what can I do, Lord? How can I help? Bless it. Help them. As we go on and about our business, we are encouraging one another. We are not at competition. We are in cooperation. We are not trying to cast down. We're trying to raise up. And this church is a church that we will fast for and that we will pray for, that from this church and this church all over the world, I'm not speaking of Rock Valley, but of the church of God, wherever it is, that the church would rise up in the power of God, that there would be a demonstration of His light and of His life, and that this world would again know the glory of God. Jesus Christ said, truly, truly, I say, if you believe in me, the works that I did, you will do also. And until we are fully involved in the works of the Lord,
in prayer, in fellowship, in hospitality, in gifts of healing, in working in miracles, in words of knowledge, in words of wisdom, in whatever gift that God gives, this is what we want to be involved in. Yes? The church is called to be engaged with God, to be unified with God in presence and power. We need His presence. So where we go, He goes. And what we're looking for is what He wants to do. Paul says in the book of Acts, Paul did many strange and unusual miracles. Why? Because God wanted to. Wherever Paul went, God spilled out of Paul. God spilled out of Jesus. God spilled out of the disciples because His presence was upon them, that even the shadow of Peter walking by made somebody well. Friends, is this so far away in your minds? Is this so unbelievable and impossible? Is God somehow changed? But why could they not set that young man free? He said, because you don't believe. But this kind doesn't come out yet by prayer and fasting. The unity to be with God is where we want to be personally, individually, and collectively as a whole, working together as a body to seek God's face for His presence to be among us where we go. And friends, any of what we do that doesn't have that purpose in mind, to have the presence of God, the grace of God, moving among us, within us, out from us, it's just a show of practice. And at Rock Valley, we don't want that. We want the reality of Jesus Christ. I will encourage you to the day I die to know the reality of Jesus Christ in your life. We were called to live according to the rules and the powers of a different age. We are to taste the powers of the age to come. We are to know Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are to know what that is, so that as we proclaim the kingdom of love that Christ will usher in, that there are those now who on this world will receive that call, that they too will become ambassadors pleading to this world to be reconciled to Jesus. That's what God wants us, reconciled to our Lord. So verse 23, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. That's what He wants to do? I like that. Let me read that again. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know. Right? So, that's what I'm saying. It's not just within these walls, friends. That the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. It should be evident that God loves us. It should be evident, friends, that God loves us, and we know that He does. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you and have known that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. Turn with me over to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. That we know that we're loved. That we know we are loved by Him. That this love be manifest in us. This is why we fast. This is why we pray. Verse 15, 1 John 4:15 says this, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Jesus prayed that we would be able to say this, that we knew that our Father in heaven sent Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. Do you hear that? We have known and believed the love that God has for us. You see, you can say, I know God loves me, and you don't believe it. You can know a lot of things in this life, but it doesn't mean it's belief. How do you know if you believe? Because what happens in your life in terms of the way you think and live is affected by it. What you believe is what you do. If you want to know what you believe, look at what you do. If you want to know where your life is, look at where your energy is. Is God first? How important is your relationship with Him? With your wife, your spouse, your husband, your children, your friends, your family? How important is it to you to be honorable in your work, to be honest, to deal justly and righteously as the Lord would? See, you can look at what the Word of God says, but the test of your belief is whether you live as if that is the truth and that is the way and it comes out. That's living the law of the Spirit. The faith in God saying, live this way, causes me to reject my old world for a new one. And I do that continually. See, God loves us right where we are. He doesn't enter into our lives saying, you've got to jump through these hoops and somehow you and your flesh got to perfect enough to get going. Do you know what you need to do? You need to get down and dirty in your heart and just lay it out there. Here's how I've sinned. Here's how I've rejected you, God. Here's how I've ignored you and what I do. My belief says I'm completely ignoring you. Friends, if you want to get to the truth of what's going on in your life, you've got to be willing to look and ask God to show you, and then you need to speak it. You have to be willing to speak the truth. That when your flesh is tempered and you see what's coming out is not a reflection of God, but a reflection of flesh, understand that at the core of your being, somewhere within you, what you're really worshiping is another God. Maybe your own self. Maybe a false belief or a false God. You're looking at something else to be God in your life. And the reflection of that is because every other God but the true God reflects itself in a way of sin, frustration, anger, desperation. Not of peace. There's no God that brings peace. Only Yahweh. There is one God of peace. And so many people are looking in this world to medicate and drug themselves into peace. And it will not happen. People keep trying to pop pills so they're not depressed. Is the pill going to help you? Really? Because if that's what your faith in, is in, I assure you, it won't lead you to peace. That's not the way to God. There is one true God. And what God does in our lives is reflected in our conduct. Friends, when God is abiding within us, what spills out of our lives is godliness. That's what comes out. The holiness, the mercy, the compassion, the truth, the justice, the righteousness, it comes out. Because our devotion to Him dictates everything else that we do in our lives. And it dictates it, how it's going to happen, what is going to be the net result. So notice this. So he says in 1 John 4, verse 16, we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. And love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Do you understand? If you're saying, I don't know where I stand before God, I don't have the boldness to know that I have passed from death to life.
That's a pretty heavy yoke. That's a lot of oppression. God wants you settled in your heart to know where you stand. And the thing is, the relationship that we have with God causes us to be confident with God. It's not our own works. It is His life within us that changes us. Friends, it says in 1 John 5, how is it that we overcome? We overcome by our faith in Jesus Christ. That is how we overcome. It is having a faithful relationship with Him, of knowing Him, that comes out of us. And again, why we pray and fast? Because we are strengthening the relationship. As much as you go on a date to strengthen a relationship with another person, or you spend time together to strengthen a relationship with family or friends, God is wanting to spend time with you to strengthen the relationship, that you'll come to trust Him and know Him, to know and believe in His love. So He says that love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. We love Him because He first loved us. We know and believe that love. Now we can love Him. It doesn't happen in a different order. Love begins with God. God is love, and all love springs forth from Him. God in your life will cause you to love. And if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, what's it say? He's a liar. He's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? In other words, if God is abiding in you because you abide in love, God will come out of you. Love will come out of your life. It is your love for God, your relationship, understanding His love for you, that causes all obedience and all righteousness and all love for neighbor to come out. That's why we fast and pray. We fast and pray to humble ourselves, to be devoted to God, that we may learn what it is to love, that we may know and believe the love that God has for us, and that that love will manifest itself out because of our faith in it to everybody else. Do you see this process? Do you have a vision of this process in your life, of how to go about being a person of love, of care, of genuineness, of goodness, of kindness, of compassion, a person of peace? It is by seeking and knowing the love of God. And many of us are so torn up inside, and we don't want to get down to the roots of the fact is we've been trying to build facades and create rules of how to live in our lives to mask the problems. We grew up in dysfunction, and we saw the dysfunction, and what we did was we tried to make rules to order our lives to get out of chaos. And so we did things and set things up and said, this is the way, this is how I'll get through it. And we all come as messes before God. And we're all screwed up because we find ways that we can convince ourselves that this is from God, when really it's just the way we figured out how to get through it in our flesh, of our own power and of our own strength. And God is calling to you today, right now, that this be the day that you say, enough. I don't want this wall between me and God. I want it down. Where God is looking to come into your heart, to touch you in the deepest part of your being and say, I love you. Let me in. Almighty God in heaven is calling out to you right now. He said, let me touch you. Friends, we have all these things in our path and all these hurts. And we see the way they come out with all these conflicts with people and other things. And we see the conflict and the unrest in our lives. And we wonder, where is it coming from? Why is it happening?
You see, those are all the warning signals. God's saying, can't you read the signs? The signs are all over your life. You're not at peace. And you're not at peace because you have been refusing to let God into the deepest places, the deepest hurts, to let Him drudge it up, to get it all out. So that the burden of your life is gone. And the peace of God can enter in. Friends, I'm telling you, the Lord God Almighty is wanting to be deep in your heart and have that deep fellowship that was sung about here. The Spirit of the Lord is calling out to those who want to come, come. If He's calling to you, I want you to come right now. If there's something in your heart you're still trying to mask and hide, if there's something in you that you know you just need to be released from, I'm making an invitation to pray for you and minister to you by the Spirit of God right now. Jesus Christ loves you and wants you free. Jesus Christ wants to put peace into your life. And it takes the bravery and the courage to say, I'm tired of hiding. I'm tired of pretending that I'm something that I can see. It's not quite right. I know that in myself, I'm not believing and receiving love, because what is manifesting out, I can see it over and over. The patterns are continually the same. And what's coming out, I know I'm not at peace. Because I'm not operating from a place of love. Because the reality is, you're doubting that God loves you, or you're not seeing how much you need to embrace that love. I invite you to come. Brad, I'd like the worship team to go ahead and start to worship. Sarah, Garrett, I'd like you to come up to pray. I'm missing Dagmar, Lynn. If there's anybody else that feels a conviction or a desire to come up, please feel free. Don't be embarrassed if you know there's something in your heart. Sometimes it's just a matter of taking the steps to know that you're loved and trusted. This place is a place for confession, but this place is a place that will be met with confidentiality and a place that will always be with love for you. God's wanting to get into your heart and mind, and it begins with confession, and it begins with coming to God. And friends, if somehow you're saying, I just can't do this right now, come up. It's not important that you do it before me or this church. I would ask you, please, I would beg of you, that you do it someplace else, at home or wherever. But God did say, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you would be healed. And that's what we want to do. We should not be satisfied in life until we know we are whole before God. And so whatever it is, let's bring it forward.